Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon or morning, whatever the heck it is.
Patrick Manley.
Patrick has some great hair. His hair was sweet, man.
He was a bear for a really, really long time.
Three things you got to do. You got to snap, protect, and cover. I feel like I can do all three pretty well.
Score Bears pregame host.
Coaches say you got to go find a butt. You run off a butt. You run off, you know, your jersey's butt.
252 games, zero solo tackles, but all of your heart.
The level of leadership that he brought in the sense of camaraderie and teammateship.
Patrick Manley with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Let's talk some Bears and some football with Patrick Manley, shall we? He is on Twitter at Patrick Manley, the WSCR sportsbook at Ameristar pregame host. They're going to be having some fun on Thursday at Tavern in the Green in Evergreen Park, Illinois. It's 3422 95th Street. That will be the sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show with Patrick and Hub and Olin Kreutz. And then the postgame, Hub, Patrick, and Big Cat Williams, brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Patrick.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, sir. What stood out most within the steady incremental progress that marked the Bears' win over the Lions on Thanksgiving morn?
The fourth quarter comeback. I know it's against a bad Lions defense, but you got to start somewhere. Two big drives, one of 80 yards, one of 90 yards to cap off a win at the end. Two big throws by Mitch, you know, that took some accuracy, which we're happy to see. And he had some poise coming down the end. Like I said, it was against a bad Lions team, but you take what you can get. And what I hope is he can just improve and maybe continue playing like that. But, you know, again, I'll say it again, a bad Lions team.
It's so bad. That defense is just god-awful and insists on playing man coverage against a quarterback who's shown that he can beat it. Still, though, what's repeatable? Like, what is truly repeatable in these last 3 weeks that Matt Nagy's going to be pounding into Mitch's head before they face the Cowboys Thursday night?
Run Mitch's offense. Don't run Matt Nagy's offense. I think that could be repeatable. I think we all liked what we saw as far as the game plan. I think he listened to Mitch and they ran what he likes. That's what I would like to see repeated. I would like to see that game plan repeated. Mitch looked very comfortable. He looked comfortable on the run, looked comfortable out of the pocket, looked comfortable obviously with the extra protection added up front with the play action passes and some of the max protection. And also the O-line blocked pretty well just when they had their, you know, four-man rush or brought one man extra and they were one-on-one. So I would like to see that being repeated, but can it be repeated? I think the only thing that can be is the play calls, but we'll see if the play can continue.
He's so much more confident against man defense than he is against zone. When he knows that he's got a matchup or he can look at a guy or, you know, measure a guy versus a guy, he just seems to be more poised than he is when he's looking at areas and spaces and who and that sort of spatial puzzle that he has. Is that common or is that just a trait that is noticeable in him?
Well, I think it's definitely noticeable in him, and he obviously has his security blanket in Allen Robinson he goes to, and just any of those man situations when he's uncomfortable. But you know, I think it's just him not truly understanding defenses yet. And that's what zones can do to confuse you just by aligning, you know, alignment, pre-snap alignment, not sure where they're going to go to whatever coverage they're going to get to. And then understanding, you know, it also has to play to the receivers of being in the right spots. We've seen a couple times this year that, you know, guys aren't getting to the right depth. They're not getting to the right hole. They're not sitting in the right spot. So it's a combination, a little bit of both. But I do think Mitch is much more comfortable in man. And there's a chance you can see a little bit of that week this week, too, against the Cowboys when they run cover one.
Defensively, things did not start well. And I wonder how much of that was, you know, a guy like Chuck Pagano pretty insistent that they're going to get Jeff Driscoll. And then David Blah comes out there under center. And it seemed, it's probably easy to project, but it seemed like, oh, that Bears defense got a little overconfident seeing a third string quarterback out there.
No, I just think that the back end this whole year has had a little confusion back there. I think a lot of those deep throws, when you go back and look at the tape, there's guys just not in the spot where they're supposed to be. And then after the play, they're turning and they're talking to each other, trying to figure out who's got who or what, you know, what coverage they're in. But I think we've seen that all year. And that's something that, you know, that's coaching and players taking coaching. And they were very comfortable with the years and the reps they had in Vic Fangio's system. And I think that's what made them that much better and that more elite, was they knew exactly where to be. They know how to disguise coverages. They know exactly what they wanted from coaching to player. And I think right now we're seeing a little bit of the, they're not together right now. I mean, they blew two big coverages. I think they blew three or four, but two big ones where guys were wide open by, you know, 15 yards. There were a couple times they were beat on double moves, but there were other ones, like I said, they were beat on confusion. And that shouldn't be happening this late in the year, even though it is a new defensive coordinator.
It's incredible to me the difference that 5 yards on first down makes. Mm-hmm. And I know all coaches talk about staying on schedule. And all coaches talk about being in manageable situations that allow them to have different calls on their card. Why does it matter so much more for the Bears than for the average team? Why does it make that big a difference for them?
Well, I just think it does for everybody, Dan. I don't think it's just the Bears, but you know, it's play calling. It's putting a defense on their heels, not knowing what's coming. I think that's just the simple answer. But I don't think it makes that much difference for the Bears than it does anybody else. I think any of the great offenses this year or any year, that's why they're so good, because they get into manageable positions. They don't have penalties on first down. They don't drop balls. They keep moving forward. But I just think it's anybody.
Yeah, I guess I'm watching too much Bears then.
You are.
We talked about this.
Yesterday was fun.
Supposed to casually watch that Bears game on Thursday. Does Anthony Miller's whole thing remind you of anybody? And I don't want to put a spin on it. I'll let you do that yourself. But he has a way that he plays. He's got a game attached to them. He's got talent, obviously. Does the whole thing comp to anybody, and how would you coach him?
I know where you're going with this. You're thinking Brandon Marshall.
I wasn't off the top of my head. Not really, no.
No, but just players that showed their emotion, I think what you're getting at. Here's my thought about it. Dan, I heard you earlier that it annoys you. I do not mind it and would not mind it if I'm his teammate, if I know what you were talking about, if he's working hard during the week. Does keep his nose in the playbook, stays extra after practice and works. Because you can feed off that energy. That energy is contagious. As long as he continues to play like he did, 9 receptions, 140 yards,
you
can do whatever the heck you want. But just be a good teammate. And the other thing is, yes, that's about you right after that play, but just be a good teammate during the week so it doesn't feel like he's truly singling himself out during the game. Does that make sense to you? That, you know, I just want somebody with that passion, with that fire, but be a good teammate. And I've got no problem with it. If he can continue this production and not get in his own way of, I heard you talk about getting back late to the huddle, getting back late to the line of scrimmage, all that kind of stuff. If he doesn't do that, we're all good.
How do you weigh, aside from Miller himself, although it's going to come up here, but when you're a teammate standing on that sideline or waiting in that huddle, and he gets the flag for 15 for unsportsmanlike or for whatever it is, how do you weigh that against his 9 catches, 140 yards, that whole, the production?
Me, personally, I just hope he makes up for it later in the game.
Okay.
that's my key is, you know, guys are going to make mistakes. Guys are going to make holding calls. Guys are going to drop balls. But just make up for all those mistakes. And that's a mistake maybe he might have with his energy. But just, you can be energetic. You can play like that. You can play all fiery. But just make sure you're producing. Make sure you're going out there and making that play at the end of the game, those big catches like he had at the end of the game. So let's just take last week. If he had a personal foul or two but came up big at the end of the game and wins the game for you like that, I'm going to give him a pass a little bit.
Akeem Hicks is practicing to some degree, and I'm wondering what it says about where this Bears regime thinks that it is. Because on the one hand, you can make a really reasonable argument to just say, hey, man, Akeem, let's just shut it down. Let's make sure you are absolutely 100% for next year, and we can think this was our little bad year, this was our regression year, and we'll get it all together, and we're going to go for it and get back to double-digit wins next year. They're not doing that. And I'm wondering what we can conclude by the desperation of bringing him back now.
I don't know if it's desperation or you're still building your team culture. You're really only in your second year of Matt Nagy. And last year was great. Everything went well. This year it didn't. But I still think you're building for the future. This is still a young team. This is still guys under contract that are going to be there for a while to help you win. And I think it's important for guys to see a guy like Akeem come back in shape, come back and still produce, come back and play with that passion that he always plays with. He's important to this team. We've talked about it before when he went out that they kind of lost their bully. You know, they lost their offensive line bully with Kyle Long when he plays well and is healthy. He's the defensive bully, and you need that guy. And he's a leader out there that all the guys look up to, you know, not only during on game day but during the week. But I just think it's important to continue building what the Bears have. Yes, they've had a down year, but I still think they have a bright future going forward if the right pieces continue to grow. So I think it's important to have them out there.
If the cost concerns are as real as they seem to be going into next season, has Nick Kwiatkowski played Danny Trevathan out of town?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think you're going to have to wait and see what's offered on the table for both of those guys.
That's fair.
You know, because I think Danny Trevathan has still got some good football in him. I don't know how many more years, but I think he's got at least one or two more. And I think he, like Akeem, is important to that locker room and important to that defense. You know, in the perfect world, he'd be able to keep both. But I don't know if you can do that money-wise. But that is a tough question. You know what? Nick has four more weeks to prove it. And that's probably an easy out on this answer. But he truly has four more weeks to prove it. And if he continues playing at this level and the age he is, then that might be the right move. But Danny Trevathan's been having a heck of a year until he got hurt.
I mean, aside from Trevathan, Kwiatkowski has been so much better in coverage than I expected him to be.
I thought he had that pick.
So much better.
I did too.
Yeah, I really did.
But yeah, there's just things, everything he's just improved on. He's a very good tackler. He's obviously a very good blitzer, what we saw last week helping Roquan get those couple sacks. But he's truly becoming an every down linebacker. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, Danny Trevathan is extremely fast, but maybe now Nick Kwiatkowski, the game is slowing down to him as far as reading and reacting what's going on in front of him, what's going on during the week, you know, knowing the game plan, that kind of stuff, which can help that, you know, half step for some of these guys, and it looks like it has for Nick.
Can we get excited about Jesper Horsted?
Why not?
Right.
That was a heck of a catch, man. You got to give that kid credit, and what a throw, too, by Mitch. So, you know, I don't know if he has the, I think what we all want is that physical, like George Kittle tight end, that 6'5", 250 guy. I don't know if he is that. We'll see how physical he can be in the run game and just when he gets the ball in his hands. But, you know, he ran a nice route. It's tough to be converted from wide receiver from the Ivy League to the NFL and do that. But who knows? That's a good start for him. Really happy for the kid. And maybe Mitch finds somebody he's comfortable with, you know, out there, you know, getting into the right spot when he needs to be.
Did you see that tight end position? Not just Horsted, but, you know, you can take any of them that were active on Thursday and playing. Did you see that tight end position influence the game plan as much as Matt Nagy's offense would usually have it? Or are they still, you know, kind of dogging the fact that they've got guys that were literally on practice squads 3 weeks ago?
No, I don't. I just think the whole game plan changed just for Mitch, you know, because of what Mitch liked. I don't think if he was to run his traditional Matt Nagy offense, maybe, but you didn't see that last week. So I don't think it played that big of a part in it.
You have a nice holiday?
I had a great holiday. Went down to Louisville, got to golf a little bit, ate a lot. The best part about that, Dan, I had the complete opposite Thanksgiving of you. I heard about your planning and everything you had to do.
Yes, oh my God.
All I had to do is bring really good wine and sit back and eat.
What'd you bring?
The quilt. You know quilt? It's made by the guys from Camus, I believe. It's a very good, it's actually a screw top wine, but it's excellent.
Okay.
Very, very good.
I will check
Google
it out.
Google it.
I will do that right now.
It has been Googled.
Thanks, man.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Patrick Manley brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Experts are predicting a brutal cold and flu season. The number one flu symptom is fever. So use a thermometer proven accurate by more than 80 clinical studies. We can't always predict the flu season, but we can always prepare for it with the Exergen Temporal Scanner.
You know, typically on Mondays, we stretch our legs and get into a Bears game. But because we had a couple of days to do that already, it gives us a little bit of space in our show today to take a look at the Bulls when we come back. It has not been pretty. It has not been pretty. It has not looked good. The things that got said.
One of the most embarrassing coaching post games in a long time. And I've gone from clean slate to realizing Jim Boylan is now in the same tier. I called him Jim Bevington before. Essien is in play here. This is, you know, we're talking like Alpo Suhonen. This is, he can welcome himself into the ring of honor for Chicago coaches, managers who were so completely, obviously, and comedically in over their heads.
You want to hear how bad it's gotten for the Bulls? You will. Next, Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Tom Izzo has a saying, PPTPW, you know, players play, tough players win.
Yeah, see, Tim Beckman probably doesn't count. Wait, it's not a Chicago coach, but were Tim Beckman to be considered, yes, that's Bevington, Essien, yes. Beckman, Boylan. Welcome to it. I mean, he makes Vinny Del Negro sound like Greg Popovich.
And he'd tell you, too, because he coached under Greg Popovich and Rudy Tomjanovich, Tom Izzo. I mean, he's got that whole list of people that he's learned these things from, and he continues doing these things. I can't get over the fact. I truly cannot get over the fact. You know, forget rotations and offensive philosophy or defensive rebounds or Wendell Carter shooting or not shooting, which I am pretty ticked about. But any of that stuff.
Blitzing pick and roll, and even though they're bad at it, saying this is what we do, we're going to continue to do it even though we're bad at it.
Put all of that stuff aside for a brief, brief moment.
Thad Young playing 20 minutes a game.
Please, how the hell is he? all of that aside for a brief, brief moment.
Come on, man.
And explain to me why Jim Boylan at 6-14 continues to tell you that everything's fine.
Yep.
How does that, I mean, as simple as that is.
Because they moved the goalpost.
I don't understand how in the hell that's okay.
Because he's ignoring the fact that the owner on these very airwaves believed that they were going to be competitive this year. The expectations for the Bulls were to be competitive this year. Competitive with other teams. They have not beaten a team that has a winning record.
Of course they haven't.
They have not beaten a team that has a winning record.
Well, of course they haven't.
Yet now, so after these
horrible... Lost to plenty of them.
After these horrible
nearly
losses...
Nearly had that Lakers thing.
What does he say after these horrible losses? Well, I got to... I'm developing a bench. That's why I left my bench in to get torched. I got to develop people. I'm playing Ryan Arcidiacono 7 minutes average in the fourth quarter because of development and growth. And what is this thing he talks about with a growth plate? Does he know what a growth plate is?
I mean, I think the easy answer there, Dan, is no.
No, he doesn't. Because he uses the term incorrectly.
Yes, there are many, many growth plates. You must stack them. You have to wash them after using them, too. These are not dishwasher-safe growth plates. You have to wash these by hand.
Does he know? This is the thing. They've completely tuned him out. The players know that he's at sea. They know it. They act like they know it. They're telling people they know it. They're not shy about it.
Did you see Zach LaVine against Charlotte just about a week and a half ago? So yes, of course he did.
Does he not know that they're not listening to him?
He may not. He probably thinks. I'd have to speculate, but he probably thinks that he can bring some of them back to his warm embrace, right? To whatever tattoo parlor where he gets the stuff done across the chest, that he believes he can bring some of them back by winning a couple of ball games. That's what he must think.
They can beat some bad teams here and there. You get Zach LaVine knocking down threes.
Well, but that's a guy I don't think you can bring back.
He's not interested. And by the way, all this stuff about development and growth, this is Zach LaVine's sixth year in the NBA.
Correct.
Sixth. I don't want to hear it. I don't think the Bulls want to hear it either when they knew they were going into this year. This is go time. This is Lauri Markkanen's third year. Everybody's getting worse.
But everything's fine. But everything's fine.
This post game was
everything's going according to plan. That's the beauty of the Jim Boylan presser, right, is that everything is according to plan.
I saw that coming. I knew this was a little bit of mutiny.
Planned that.
Yep, that was going to happen. We knew that was going to happen. So we have the Jim Boylan meeting the reporters at the conclusion of the latest loss.
Jim, how much does this team just need a win right now?
Well, we need to keep playing the way we're playing, which is hard and together. The wins will come. Wins are always good, but we're building this thing. We got the blocks being laid, and I like our effort tonight. I like our togetherness, and I like our competitiveness.
What makes you think the wins will come?
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie?
I've seen
He's in the movie, Joe?
Okay. I've seen it. Well, but, I mean, at the same time, they haven't come yet.
Okay.
You guys are trying to build this.
I'm not gonna dispute you on that. You're right. I'm going to look at what we can grow, how what I can teach better, what we need to learn, what we do well and do it better, what we don't do well, fix it and do it better. That's what I'm going to do. And I've got enough experience, I think, where I've seen when you do that, good things come. And that's what I'm going to do.
Help.
It's just so lame.
Help.
Dan, it's just so lame. It's like
it's not
a
even
dad,
the line. It's if you
no.
build it, he will come.
What makes you think the wins will come?
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie?
I've seen
He's in the movie, Joel?
Okay. I've seen it.
I mean, guarantee you he doesn't know the name of the
movie. Is that a well at the end of that? When Callie's like, yeah? Here, I'll play it again.
What makes you think the wins will come?
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe?
I've seen it.
I think that's a well. I think that's a well. I mean, how cliche is dad misquotes movie in extremely inappropriate circumstance?
I guarantee you, if you asked him right there, what's the title of that movie, he wouldn't know it.
You're right.
Dreamfields. It's called Dreamfields.
I'm not going to dispute you on that. How can you?
The movie is called Dreamfields, and it stars that Kelvin Costner.
Oh my
that,
God.
That fellow. Listen.
You're not building anything.
I don't
Wins
think,
are always good.
I don't think he was being testy with Joe. I think he was trying to make light of a really bad situation, which in and of itself, after losing a game to the Warriors, where you said there is no shame in losing to the Warriors, then to the Blazers by four, it's probably not a situation where you should be doing whatever the hell that was.
So the Warriors team that they lost to.
Where there is no shame.
No shame.
No shame in losing to that team.
Except when Wendell Carter Jr. said, yeah, there's shame.
No shame.
How many players that played that night had been on the Warriors before this year?
Draymond Green.
That's it.
Yeah. Eric
That's
Pascal.
No, he's a rookie.
No, he's a rookie.
That's literally the entire list.
And then they talk about how they've got what Boylan said was they've got championship spirit. Something like that.
Yes, it's just.
You're right.
Uh-huh. I don't.
Well,
at some point.
What do you do?
You know, you can look at this coach, see the excuses that get made. The systems are getting run. The defense is getting played or not played. The offense, the progress that's not being made by Lauri Markkanen. And you can continue to blame a coach who is clearly overmatched. But at some point, the fact that he's overmatched is evident to the rest of the association.
Oh, it has been for a while.
I think that point got reached. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
I think the old sensors got triggered. I think the light's beeping.
Yep.
I think the tracking fob is going off.
There's no shame in this game tonight. We played hard and we competed.
Well,
you lost to the Warriors.
I have a question. When you leave a sandwich on the coffee table and you know your dog eats food that you leave on the coffee table and your dog eats it, do you kick the dog? Is it Jim Boylan's fault?
No,
or is it, he's being put in a situation where he can't succeed because
I'm not going to.
That's what I'm saying.
Dispute you on that. You're right.
It has now become evident that not only was there a sandwich left on the table, but there was a meatball sandwich prepared. It was hot and fresh out the kitchen. It's got the melty cheese and everything, and it's placed right there on the table. And then instead of attending to that carefully made sandwich. That beautifully made sandwich, you stood up and you went to the bathroom with the dog in the living room. This isn't some sandwich from yesterday that you're reheating out of the microwave.
Yet another reason to not have a dog in the house. They'll eat your food.
Or jump up on the table.
But I'm talking about like bad dogs. Like Jim Boylan is a bad dog. But it's not his fault if he eats the sandwich. Because he's just a dog.
It's evident now. It has been evident for a while. It is even more clear now than it used to be. And here's the other thing. You're going to play more basketball games. This is true.
You got one tonight.
You've got more basketball games. Do you think that there will be more evidence about his being overmatched? About this team being improperly coached? About this development not being reached?
At some point.
Because I do.
And at some point, you're going to get another little mutiny is what's going to happen. Because you already have Zach LaVine's doing whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. That's clear. He's got his thing. They know that Ryan Arcidiacono should not be averaging 7 minutes per fourth quarter.
Ryan Arcidiacono might know it. Think about the depth you established. You went out and grabbed the darling offseason acquisition of the year in Tomas Satoransky. You drafted Kobe White. You have Chris Dunn for whatever reason. That's four dudes. Four dudes who could get minutes in front of Ryan Arcidiacono.
Also,
and yet, though he's playing as well as you could ask Ryan Arcidiacono to play, he gets his minutes.
And you're going to have an issue as professional as he is. It gets around a locker room when your OG, Thaddeus Young, is playing 20 minutes a night and doesn't know why.
I don't get it.
And is asked directly about it and says, well, you're going to have to ask coach.
It makes no sense.
And I wrote a column last week, and I mean it. It was an open letter, an apology to Wendell Carter Jr., who deserves better than this.
That's the guy you can't lose, by the way.
And he's gone.
No. I mean publicly. In the way that Zach is...
Well, Wendell Carter Jr. is openly refuting what the coach says after multiple games now.
Yeah, but because of who he is...
Coach said there's no shame in the loss. Well, of course there's shame.
There's shame in the loss.
We should win this game. There's shame in every loss. That's a 20-year-old who's got to be the old soul of this locker room because the coach is got a dunce cap on.
So imagine what it looks like when Wendell Carter really starts to feel it. If that happens, you know, if you get farther down that line, I mean, that's not a place you can be if you're Jim Boylan. You asked if he thinks he's still got some. He may, and that may be one of the guys that he has just a little bit left on. Because if he's lost him, I think the rest of it goes.
There are some wins left for bad teams, and the Bulls are a bad team. There are wins left for them because
wins are always good.
It's the NBA, but you can't have a 25-win season this year, and that's what they're going to have.
Yeah, 23, 25.
Yeah, it's a 23-win team.
Sure.
And with no signs of it getting any better and players regressing, there's no rhyme or reason to the rotations. They are going out of their way to play a defense apparently designed to magnify everyone's individual inabilities. They have decided. This is one thing where you say, well, replacement level coach, they'd be fine. They're actively doing things that make them less likely to win and telling you they're the right things and they just have to do them better.
And to be fair, they're doing that on the offense as well.
Yes,
because
that's true.
Like Wendell Carter is being treated like he's Clint Capella, not allowed to shoot, stands in the dunker spot, and he's still getting double doubles almost every game. But just imagine if they used him properly, where his skill set of maybe, I don't know, if he's just been told no shooting,
I think he has.
He's Joakim Noah now.
I think he has. He has to have been told. The sheer number of like 12 and 14 footers that he stares at and does not take has to be because he's been told to not take them.
Yeah, and the fact that like now because of the way they work their spacing and where the pick and roll takes place, where he used to be pretty good last year with Hoiberg when they'd have high pick and roll and he could make that decision around like the Nick Van Axel free throw line.
Yeah.
And kick it out to a corner or take the shot himself. Now he doesn't even do that because he's so much closer to the basket. He turns around from catching the ball and there's a defender in his chest.
And then the Bulls can't answer why they're leading the league in shots missed close to the basket. And in large part, it's how you have the floor spaced and where you allow rim protectors to be.
Well, you just need Chris Dunn to knock down a couple open threes.
And if Lowry Marketing could get healthy, that'd be nice too.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. You want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves and earn a $5,000 signing bonus? Visit ChicagoWolves.com for details. Then visit the Sprint store in Arlington Heights between 1 and 3 p.m. December 14th for your chance to win. Whew, I wish there's some other way to paint this, but the Bulls are in an absolute free fall, and all they're going to do from here on in is, look, this isn't about growth. And don't fall for the okey-doke here. I was saying, well, yeah, this is about development and growth and building a bench and all this. No, this was supposed to be about competing night in and night out.
You're right.
Zach LaVine is in year six.
We'll dispute you on that.
He's in year six. Your star is in year six. Don't give me this.
Can I offer you a palate cleanser?
What?
Can I move you down? Because this is too much. It's all across my chest right now. How about a midday midway? We haven't done one in a couple of days.
Fine.
Great. Midday midway coming up. I got a heist that I'm very excited about and a Hall of Fame tale of former glory.
We're going to play Is This Irony? And because it's one of my favorite games.
I love that game.
And I've got an opportunity for you to bid on some movie memorabilia you may find interesting. It is not Star Wars related.
Midday
it is
midway.
From a sports movie.
On the way. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, midway.
The midday midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the midday midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Midday midway is brought to you by Door Systems. Call 1-800. The Door. We talk Bears with Patrick Manley. It's not a Bears Monday, but kind of is kind of because they're my first time on since the Bears game. So we had him on, and we also talked about the Bulls. And
now we need to talk about something else.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you, but I have rarely seen an NBA coach this obviously unequipped to be successful at his job.
Love the start of this first story here in our Midday Midway. Our friends on Twitter, Bernstein underscore MCK on Twitter, by the way, thanks for sending this around. It's just been so much football the last couple of days. We hadn't gotten to it, but here it is. This from CNN. Thieves have stolen around 100 pieces of priceless treasure in an audacious heist from a castle vault in the German city of Dresden. Several criminals gained access to the Green Vault, one of the largest collections of masterpieces in Europe, lifting artifacts of immeasurable value, according to Roland Woller,
a local politician. Something of immeasurable value?
I don't know. Woller said this is an attack on the cultural identity of all Saxons and the state of Saxony. Oh, sorry, he's German. So, this is an attack on the cultural identity of all Saxons and the state of Saxony. The vault features an astounding collection of historical jewelry and precious ornaments from bowls carved out of crystal and agate. Agate? Is that the thing that Dan McNeil needs printed out for him by his intern?
Agate is also the name of a type of font.
Jeweled figurines, goblets fashioned from gilded ostrich eggs. It is literally priceless. I mean, you read down through the whole thing, and they were asked to assess the thing.
What do you do with it?
They've never even taken a value on these because they are unsellable. The jewels, all of it.
It's not negotiable bearer bonds.
No.
What do you do with
it? You can't sit on a beach and earn 20% on this stuff.
Hey, yeah, the market for a gilded ostrich egg that just fell off the back
of
a truck?
That's
the time I was at the gas station at the corner of Elston and North, right there by
sure.
where Stanley's
yeah.
Food Mart was.
Yeah.
And I'm pumping gas. A guy comes running up to me and goes, "You want to buy some speakers?"
No.
No.
Oh, I was just going down to the speaker store to get speakers. What a stroke of luck for me.
While pumping gas, I'm just going to randomly buy speakers.
See, listen to how easy this was. Well, not easy necessarily, but how low tech this was. The police received a call 4:59 in the morning. Two suspects were seen on CCTV. The footage was later released by the police. It shows two people wearing dark clothes moving quickly through the gallery using flashlights. One of them uses an axe to break the glass. Had to hit it nine times to break the glass. This was brute force. The APB out. Nobody knows who these people are or where they're going to find them. 100 pieces of priceless jewelry gone, stolen, and the Saxons everywhere are upset about it.
A man was shot and killed after he set off a booby trap in his own home on Thanksgiving night. Ronald Sear, 65, of Van Buren, Maine, died of injuries sustained at his home after a handgun that was designed to fire upon anybody entering the front door of his residence went off.
idiot.
At Officer Chandler Mador in the Van Buren Police Department, assisted by U.S. Border Patrol, responded to a call indicating that Sear had been shot. But when officers arrived on the scene, they discovered he'd been injured by the booby trap he had allegedly set up himself. Several other booby traps were found at his residence, causing investigators to contact the Maine State Police Bomb Squad. It had determined he had been shot unintentionally after discharging his own booby trap. It is unknown why he set these up or how he managed to actually detonate the device.
I think that's irony.
I think that's irony. Well, gosh darn it, I'm going to set this thing up. Well, anybody comes popping through here, going to take a bullet in the head.
How do they know it was unintentional? I mean, the guy set it up to shoot anyone going through the door. It worked.
It's true.
That seems intentional. I'm sure he didn't mean for it to be him.
Where
but
are we on the irony meter here?
That's irony. Okay. I got pegged at a 7.5. Kevin Zipak sent this to me a little earlier in the day. And despite that, it is still a great, great story. You remember Ichiro Suzuki, right?
Yes.
Of course you do.
Remember Ichiro?
Hall of Famer, 28-year career over in Japan and in Major League Baseball of 4,367 hits between there and here. Most in baseball history. According to the Kyoto News, and there's video here, so it's not just the report. Unfortunately, the video is all, the audio is all Japanese. Otherwise, we would have brought it for you. Ichiro suited up in a sandlot game against a team of high school teachers this last Sunday.
He went live ringers.
He went 3-for-4 with a walk and struck out 16 in a complete game shutout. Ichiro did allow 6 hits in his team's 14-0 win. His quote after the game was, "I can still make it work. No problems at all regarding either my elbow or my shoulder. It was a blast." There's video, and the swing is just, I mean, it's like he's swinging through a pool, right? I mean, he's really got to drag the bat along. But pitching, he's dealing. I mean, he's out there throwing and throwing hard. He struck out 16. I want to know the six teachers who got hits.
I want to know who got him out.
Oh, yeah, he did go 3-for-4. We got to find that out. It's all up there. The video's there. I'll tweet it. It's great. But how about Ichiro unable to give up baseball at all and just, oh, it's a Sunday game. No big deal. Sandlot game. I'll go out there, see what happens.
If you're in the market, I have a baseball hat and a baseball for you. An auction house called Leland's, that's known for auctioning famous sports memorabilia, has this, and you're not probably going to want it because it's got Chief Wahoo on it. So you're not going to go wearing it around. And it's a very specific hat because this was the one worn by Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn.
Oh,
Charlie Sheen himself. We got a new one. Movie reference. Yeah, see that movie?
Yeah. Seen that movie?
Yeah, I have. I've seen Major League. And this is his game-worn hat. And not only is it a ball, it is the 101-mile-an-hour ball, pitch that struck out Clue Haywood.
Wow.
How fast was the actual pitch?
You know, I read something about, now I'm getting confused because I know Costner threw all his own stuff in For Love of the Game, but I forget if I get that mixed up with Sheen doing all his own pitching. Did he hit 75?
There's Tom Selleck and Mr. Baseball, too.
All his own stuff? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he was a college player.
Yeah, I knew he was. You know, some guys, even if they can play, they use other, stuff
now,
in the movie.
Here's the thing. Charlie Sheen says his fastball was 84 to 85 miles an hour.
While filming?
I doubt it.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
It's
mid-80s Charlie Sheen, man.
Mid-80s. I doubt it. That's really hard.
Yeah, 84, 85.
I mean, if he's even touching 80 for somebody who was, a decent high school player, he was. But that's, I'm sure he's exaggerating a little. However, compared to Corbin Burnson, compared to Tom Berenger.
Berenger's swing is so bad.
It's horrible. It makes my back hurt.
So bad in that movie.
And, we had Chelsea Ross in studio talking about his role as Harris because he pitched in high school.
Yeah, he could play a little bit, right?
Yeah, he just said he felt old. And even watching it then, he said he felt he looked old as a pitcher. But I'll give him all the points in the world for looking natural and athletic. And I'm sure throwing hard. I have my doubts. Now, as far as what it's costing right now, where the bids are for these things. There are 17 bids on the cap. The highest offer is $4,594.
It's from Charlie Sheen.
The ball has 10 bids on it. And it's up to $2,357 to call it their own.
That actually seems reasonable for people who love that movie. I mean, you know, it's not over $10,000. It's something like five or six.
It's Grant DePorter, and they're going to do a bit, or somebody's going to re-auction it, or you're going
to
put it
come
in
down
sports...
to the restaurant. We're going to shake all the cocaine out of this hat.
Put it on a sports bar somewhere. I don't know.
That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We are in a somewhat typical Monday formation here on the show, which means that our very own Rich Campbell, well, he's the Tribune's, but we like him too. Rich Campbell is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk a little Bears, Lions, and Bears, Cowboys too, because we're not that far away from that one. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.